The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 24th Sunday after Pentecost and the last Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from St. Paul's Epistle of the Colossians. Brethren, we have been praying for you unceasingly, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May you walk worthily of God and please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be completely strengthened through his glorious power unto perfect patience and long-suffering, joyfully rendering thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption, through his blood, the remission of sins. In the Holy Gospel, I ask you please this morning to pick up your bulletins, and if you don't have a bulletin handy, then use your missal, and read along very, very carefully today's gospel together with me. It is taken from St. Matthew. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything from his house, and let him who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. But woe to those who are with child or infants at the breast in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor will be. And unless those days have been shortened, no living creature would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone say to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they say to you, behold, he is in the desert, do not go forth. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes forth from the east and shines even to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then will all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming from the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. And he will send forth his angels with a trumpet and a great sound. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now from the fig tree learn this parable. When its branch is now tender and the leaves break forth, you know that summer is nigh. Even so, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Amen, I say to you, This generation will not pass away till all these things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Thus for this day's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning there is much to be looked to in today's bulletin. First of all, perhaps since this week, we celebrate and acknowledge the Day of Thanksgiving. All of us here, all the monks, the fathers and the brothers and the sisters, the nuns, wish each and every one of you a holy and happy Thanksgiving Day. I think that as we look back, we, during this past year, I believe we can find many, many things that we have to be thankful for. Let us not for a moment hesitate to be thankful to Almighty God. We will have Mass in this church on Thanksgiving Day, Masses rather, at 6 and 8 o'clock. Now, meat may be eaten on Friday of this week. This goes back many, many generations, several generations as far as I'm concerned, that we have always had meat on Friday after Thanksgiving, the purpose being for practical reasons. This morning, here at the entrance of the sanctuary, you will find the tray with the usual blessed wheat. Help yourselves, take it all. And the instruction as to how to use this wheat will of course be found in today's bulletin. And I encourage the older folk in the house to make use of this practice. It is a holy and wholesome little custom. It's geared for children. Of course it's geared for children. But until we all become children like our littlest children, we will not be able to fully appreciate and understand what our holy religion is trying to tell us. So make use of the wheat. Plant that one little seed each day in Advent. Each day, one offering to Almighty God of something that has cost us a great deal. We do not here speak in terms of money. We do not here speak in terms of things. The only thing that we here speak of and are interested in is what have I done this day? What have I given to God this day? Of that which He really wants. And this little grain of wheat to be planted this day in soil will remind me that on this day I gave Him something that cost me a great deal. The calendars, of course, are available if any of you want calendars, see me. I do not have any with me this morning, but they are here, and they are at the usual price. In the back of the church, you'll find the little Advent wreath leaflets. Again, take these home with you, and those of you who have been here before and have belonged to us, use the Advent wreath. Use it well. Use it in conjunction with the wheat. Use it in conjunction with everything you do, especially when little children are involved. Please, I beg you, please, be reasonable, be sensible, be logical. Carefully, very carefully, make sure that all of the beauties of this particular season, from beginning to end, do not be taken away from our littlest children. Do not be overcome or overwhelmed by the words of those who may not know better, or who may have other agenda. If we take away the magnificence of the fantasies of the make-believe world that our littlest children involve themselves in, we're going to create a void. That void will be filled, believe me, with another fancy, another fantasy. And those of you who have looked will see what it is that has invaded the minds, the hearts, and the souls of all of our precious, wonderful little children. If you let this happen, if anybody lets this happen, whoever that is will have to answer to God. This year, it's an early announcement, not too early at that even, of the Immaculate Conception. The 8th of December falls on Sunday. The feast, of course, may not be celebrated on any of the Sundays of Advent. Therefore, it is transferred to the following day, and the following day then becomes a holy day of obligation. Also attached to the bulletins this week are the suggested readings for Advent. These should be done. The best time to do these readings is at the dinner table or the supper table, when all are gathered together. And they should be read, and these readings will lead us all the way up to the birth of our divine Savior from the beginning of time and the promise. Therefore, we strongly suggest and urge that you perform this reading. I failed to mention that the Advent wreath should be blessed by the father of the family. In his absence, by the mother of the family. And in the absence of both, by the senior member of the family. It has to be a solemn ceremony, with dignity, not with giggling, but in solemnity and honesty and reverence. Because all of it taken together, all of it taken together, all of it creates the true tone, the accurate tone of our holy Catholic religion, the tone of which in these our days has been seriously deformed. Let us not be guilty of adding any further deformity to it. Let us present ourselves as we should be before each of the members of our family. So therefore, it is perfectly all right. Do not feel guilty if you perform the usual tasks that go with this particular season. Christmas is coming. Do what has to be done in the Christmas season without feeling it, the feeling of guilt, provided, of course, that everything you do away from home has been carefully anchored and correctly anchored inside your home. If you do that, I told you once before, and I repeat it, now understand what I'm about to say. If you truly love God. I repeat that. If you and I and us truly love God with the love that is required by God, then we can go out and do anything. Understand that, and understand it well, because if I truly love my beloved, if I truly love my beloved, I will not do anything to hurt my beloved. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Let him who has ears to hear, listen. Today is the last Sunday of Pentecost. It is the end of our year, of our liturgical year. And next Sunday, with the first Sunday of Advent, the whole cycle, the liturgical cycle, will begin all over again, and we will go through this year once again. As a matter of fact, what begins next Sunday, it comes to an end. That particular part of the year, the liturgical year, ends on Trinity Sunday, the Sunday after Pentecost. And it takes us all the way from the promise, all the way to the birth, all the way to the passion and death and resurrection and ascension and the coming of the Holy Ghost, all the way through. And it ends up by giving praise, honor, and glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost on Trinity Sunday. Thus ends this particular segment of the liturgical year. Extremely important, extremely instructive. This morning, we put an end to things. It is the last day of the year. And on such an occasion, the tendency is to look back. Today, with all that we know that is going on, and no matter which direction you look, north, south, east, or west, you see clouds gathering. They're very dark clouds. They're very black clouds. And we see lightning and we hear thunder in the distance. And the thunder seems to be getting closer and closer and closer. And we see that there is a need to hurry. To hurry and to get things done. But we're told this morning, if you're on the housetop, don't bother. If you're in the field, don't bother. Keep going. Don't turn around. There is a feeling, there's a message of the direst urgency in today's gospel. And we're told that when we see the leaves appearing on the fig tree, that we know that summer is nigh. And we're told finally also that heaven and earth will pass away. But what I am saying to you will never pass away. That is a serious promise, a serious oath, a serious vow that we must listen to. What do we do in these our days when we hear all these horrendous warnings that are coming from none other than God Himself in the person of Jesus Christ? What do we do? My beloved people, the thing that we stress here all the time and all the time and all the time, and that is the reformation of our interior self. Under no condition do we think the proper reformation of self depends on all of the things that I do. I do this, I fast, abstain, I give alms to the poor. Remember, we simply cannot put the poor old Pharisee and the publican to sleep, can we? They keep coming up every time we turn around. No matter which direction we turn, we see these two men. And important to be noted is that we, each one of us, you and you and me, each one of us is either a publican or a Pharisee. I will repeat that in case anyone did not hear it. Each one of us is either a publican or a Pharisee. And there is no one, we will notice, in God's parable, there is nobody, there is no one that stands somewheres between the publican and the Pharisee. You're either the one or you are the other. And that is that. No matter how much you do, look at all the absolutely magnificent things that the Pharisee had accumulated unto himself. Oh dear, he had a long tablet full of them. He ran out of paper writing down all the great and wonderful dear things that he was doing and that he had done and that he was going to do over and over and over and over. How wonderful he was. How unbelievably tremendous was this man. When he chanced to look around and he saw a miserable wretch in the back of the church, and he said, "Oh my Lord, how I thank you. How I thank you, my precious God in heaven. How I thank you that I am not like the rest of men, even like that sinful wretch in the back of the church." Have not some of us sometimes or other walked into the church and walked up to the front of the church and said to ourselves, "Oh God, how grateful I am that I am better than the rest of these poor people who do not know as much as I." and who are not as good as I. I thank you, my Lord. Have we not done that? Have we not been guilty of this? Do not go into the house because the time is running out. And let us hope that there have been plenty of us who hardly even walk into the portals of the church and fall on our knees and look upon ourselves as what we are, truly wretched, nothing people. And look back and look at all the tarnish that is on us, and that we fall on our knees and say, Dear God, why have you been so good to me, who is such a sinner as myself? Who is it that is strong enough and powerful enough to look in upon his sin? My beloved people, it is time that we put aside make-believe. Yes, we spoke of the childhood fantasy a while ago. Yes, we know that. Distinguish, my dear people, distinguish, please. But it is time that we got real and put aside all of the craziness that we have developed around ourselves in order to justify our own personal goodness. Who is good? Who is good? So therefore, my beloved people, during these, read this gospel. It's a frightful message, but it is one that we have to face. And as you have been told on many an occasion, you have only one purpose, regardless of all other considerations. I don't care what you bring into focus. You have only one purpose, and that is the salvation of your immortal soul. And if you and I fail to accomplish this, it matters not how many golden coins we have earned in the countless achievements of our lives, big achievements, middle-sized achievements, little achievements, any kind of achievements. If I fail to save my immortal soul, I'm a failure. So, it is not in the accumulation of devotions, rosaries without end, visits without end, masses without end, aspirations without end, etc., etc., etc. Almighty God does not want to be told numerous times during the day that I love him. And at the end of the day, as I look back on the present day, I look at all the times that I said during this past day, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. At the end of the day, you say, well, dear Lord, you know what? 300 times today, I told you that I loved you. Isn't that wonderful, dear Lord? 303 times, I made a mistake. 303 times today, I told you that I loved you. You noticed that, didn't you, Lord? Make sure that our blessed Lord does not, after having been given that tremendous bit of information, turn to us and say, but do you love me? Do you love only me? That's what matters. And this is not in the it doesn't get its merit by the number of times that we remind him that we love him. But one little simple act of love, one little grain of wheat planted in the soil, just one, will tell him the depth and the width and the breadth and the height of our love, my beloved people.